Pelicans win 117-112 sweep the Sacramento Kings, presented by the Birdsall Law Firm. Before we get in the show, make sure you hit that like button, share, comment. Let's do it. Presented to you by the Birdsall Law Firm, the official injury lawyers of Pro Pels Talk, located at 918 Poitras Street by the Superdome. Give them a call at 504-523-5413. If you or someone you know has been involved in an accident, Birdsall Law Firm, the official injury lawyers of Pro Pels Talk. Me and Lito tonight, night before Thanksgiving. Before we get into the show, happy Thanksgiving to all of y'all. Appreciate y'all pulling up. Let's talk about it, Lito. Let's talk about the last 2 minutes, because that was a back and forth game. There were a lot of runs. It was ups and downs. First and foremost, it was very clear they were going to play through Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram tonight. What did you like about that?
As they fucking should. Thank you for finally.
What's up, Chaz? Live now. What's up?
Thank you. Hold on. Listen. Justin, we talked about this. Chaz, we talked about this. We finally saw the pick and roll. And you kind of saw it on a game-winning layup by Brandon. It was a slight pick by Zion, but it was more of a handoff. But I mean, it still technically counts as a pick. He got to the rim on it. We talking about the last 2 minutes, Justin. The rotation was fucking terrible.
We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the rotations. We are going to talk about the rotations. But what did you see from Brandon and Zion?
I saw two dudes who are, by all accounts, on the same page finally. I think Zion admitted this the other day. They seem to be on the same accord. Shout out to CJ for the pod and talking about how he called the team meeting and he kind of, you know, he got everybody together and he said, "Y'all, look, y'all got to practice. Y'all got to practice together. Y'all got to do stuff together." Yep. And if these are going to be the leaders of the team, man, like, you got to – these are going to be the leaders of the team. You know, you got to do that. But, I see positive signs of growth, and that's really all you can ask for.
Chaz, it was very clear they were giving the ball to Zion Williamson tonight. It wasn't even the last 2 minutes. I thought the last, like, 7 minutes, right? The Kings were making their run with, like, 7 minutes to start there in that fourth quarter, and they just kept giving the ball to Zion. What did you see from Zion, you know, down the stretch there to close it out?
I saw a guy who's still working his way back. I would say Zion's probably about 80% right now. I thought he had a really solid to good game offensively. Defensively, I thought it was kind of blah. Like, I thought it started off that way. Truthfully, I thought, like, I don't know. It was like, I didn't see a lot of great energy from the starters on the defensive end, aside from, like, Herb. And I thought JB was great all night. To close the game, I think it was the right idea. I didn't like not having JB out there with Sabonis and foul trouble. I thought you saw a smarter Kings team tonight. They was real foul happy. But I like the idea of letting Zion feet in the hot hand, letting them close it out, and letting them carry you ultimately to victory. Shout out to Najee too.
Yeah, we're definitely talking about Najee. But back to your defensive point, Chaz, because Lito, I thought one of the biggest plays of the night, it's a 2-point game, 3-point game, whatever it may be. Brandon Ingram, weak side help rotation, takes away the short roll lob. I think he steals it, deflects it out, goes down, hits a mid-range, and that kind of basically sealed the game there. What did you see from Brandon tonight? Because I thought, once again, I saw some energy defensively, but I thought he played both sides of the ball tonight.
Couple things I saw from Brandon won't show up on the stat sheet. On a defensive end, I saw a lot of, and this is, again, something that won't be in the box score, but I saw a lot of good closeouts from Brandon. I don't know if you listen to the broadcast, but there was a shot where there was a play where Fox drove Harrison Barnes in the corner, probably should have took that shot, but Brandon closed out on the shot. And Mike Brown was pretty upset that he didn't take that shot. But Brandon's hustle, it got there so quick that if he would have made it, I think Brandon might have got a piece of ball on the shot. I thought Brandon was really good defensively, pretty good defensively as far as, like, closing out. And that read on the Sabonis lob they tried to do.
Yeah.
That was a really good. I mean, he's been watching Herb Tate, man. I mean, and that's the thing. Herb's gotta be, you know, playing with that kind of defensive prowess. It's gotta be infectious. It's gotta make you want to try harder. And that's the thing with defense, bro. It's just effort. It's just giving effort. And if you want to be the leaders of this team, you gotta be able to do that. And just before you go on to your next point, I want to say shout out to that boy, Maj 504. We were talking about Jose the other night.
That's the comment right there.
I want to give him his credit. I said that Dyson, Jose needed to show me. Jose was good. I still think 19 minutes was a bit too much for Jose down the final stretch, but Jose ball, man. He a hooper.
Chaz tweeted this out in the middle of the game. Najee Marshall's 9 of 18 on the season from deep. Actually, he might be 10 of 19 now from three. He's hit two. And most of those threes have been timely. Once again, hits a timely three-pointer in the left corner. Once again, hits a timely top-of-the-key three-pointer. I mean, we talked about it, you know, when we talked about it with Najee at Media Day, he said he's worked really hard in the offseason. He's worked on his shot, and he's making big-time plays at big-time moments.
Yeah, I thought since his return – I thought he's been a great X factor on the offense night in, night out, pretty much since he's been back. And it's good to see that three ball falling, especially with the news of Matt Ryan going down. They didn't shoot the three particularly well tonight. They got to the free throw line a lot. And man, I got a controversial opinion about that, but they got the free throw line. They got a pretty generous whistle tonight. And to me, that was the Matt game. But you saw Najee not only, like to your point, hit shots. He hit big shots, multiple threes, great drives to the rim, finishes off the glass. Looked like a man trying to get paid. That's what it looked like to me.
Yeah, he played well. All right, so I think this is a good transition. I see a lot of comments, and I think we got to talk about it. Lito, I'll start with you. So, the rotations, and look, there's a game within the game. The rotations, though, were down the stretch, were, in my opinion, were questionable. I'm sure y'all have y'all's opinion too. I know Brandon Ingram had five fouls, but there was a point where Jose, I felt like, was like going to be your closing point guard, which I didn't necessarily understand because I still think Dyson should still be out there. But look, you know, people might have different opinions. I couldn't. When he took Brandon and Zion out with like 3.5 left, I couldn't understand that one. I understand giving Zion a break, but that was pretty dangerous there as well. And then obviously JV. So Lito, what did you, down the stretch, what did you think with the rotations there? And what would you like to see?
I mean, in a clutch, I'm never going to understand taking Brandon and Zion out at the same time. Like, I really don't understand that point. Listen, the thing with Jose is the free throws hurt. The activity was great because he pissed everybody off. He got texts. He kind of had them scrambling. Najee was great tonight, for sure.
I'm just pulling up comments. Sorry, y'all, you go.
Yeah, no, you good. I feel like the rotation was questionable, to say the least. It was definitely questionable. The game shouldn't have been as close as it was towards the end. And I don't want to blame that on Willie. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to necessarily blame that on Willie, but I think when you're looking at the game, like, for instance, the JV usage, I think he was 15 and 13 or some shit.
JV had 15 points and 11 rebounds, 6 of 9 from the field, 3 of 4 from the free throw line.
And it was only 9 shots. So I think I just want to warn everybody in the chat. Chris Conner is about to pull up and he's about to scream. So hold on one second. Let me send this to him.
But yeah, here, you do that. I'm gonna pull this up though. There was this point. He did take a really good timeout with 10 seconds left there on the shot clock dwindling down, and then they got I'm blanking, but it was either Brandon or Zion layup that led to that timeout. So I thought that was a good timeout.
So, but I think that the main thing for me is just like, why wouldn't you the Brandon Zion pick and roll, right? Like I would have just continued to feast on that or start feasting on that in the fourth when the shot making slowed down. What's up, Lex? What up, Lex? Yeah, when a shot making slowed down for the Pelicans, I think you can. That's something you can continuously lean on. You talk about identity. We talk about identity a lot, right? And if you want to build a foundation, you want to start with an identity, why not start with your two best players, getting them involved in the action constantly? Yeah.
Constantly. The keyword, constantly. Go ahead, Chaz. Chaz, I do want to – don't let me forget about this comment because someone has a question for you, but go ahead about the closing rotations there.
So answer the question or the rotation?
No. I'm just saying don't let me forget about that. He has a question.
The closing rotations, it was the most egregious thing I think I saw was JV not playing earlier. Taking Zion and Brandon out the game with the way they were defending at the end of the game, I think Willie just wanted to get one stop defensively. They probably wanted to get at least one or two stops defensively. And, you know, I want to say this before Chris comes on.
Before Chris comes on, guys.
Yeah. This is the thing that's funny to me about the fan base, right? We've been saying, myself specifically, I'm going to just say me. I've been saying this team got serious chemistry issues. Them dudes don't get along. They don't particularly like each other most of the offseason, right? No one believes it. The Memphis dude says that no one believes it. CJ comes out today and says, yeah, that we had to get some things right. Now it's the fucking truth. It's just
but they got it together. They got it together. That was team meeting. Yeah. They got it together. All right, Chris. Chris live. Okay, let's see what we got. What do you
What's
got?
Going on? What's happening?
What's up, where are you at? Can you hear us?
I can hear you. I'm right outside the arena. They had to kick me out.
What'd you think of the game?
Huh? What am I looking at? That's crazy. What I think of the game? Real just told she just told me a pound. Yeah, don't worry about it. Listen, I think the Kings are inferior. That's just, you know, I think it's still fake. I think that they got really solid talent. I think Fox is incredible. Sabonis is dope, but they don't have a wing defender, they don't have a rim protector. How you gonna do both? How you gonna win? How you really gonna be a good team? You don't have both, especially when injuries kick in from time to time. They're not that good, bro. They couldn't beat the Pelicans. Pelicans are 500. How you gonna beat the rest of the damn Western Conference? They all right. They good. They got embarrassed on the same floor I was in, stepping on, Justin. Stepping on the same. You hear steps? That was me. The same floor was stepping on. And they came back and lost again. And guess what? Guess what, Justin? Guess what? Guess what? Guess what? Willie tried to get a game away. Do you hear me? Willie tried to get a game away because he fell in love with certain players that I think should play, but still shouldn't play. It's the same thing. Do you hear me? He tried to get a game away in the fourth quarter. It definitely tried to happen. Dyson was sitting on the bench playing Rubik's Cube with no Rubik's Cube. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to do. Cause why he wasn't in the game? It took Jose with a sprained ankle hopping in off the floor for a chance to happen. But look, they won the game. It was great. I had fun. It was a good time. Kings ain't shit. It is what it is. Good team, solid team, but not as good as everybody want to say they is, cause they not. I don't even know who the fuck was starting. Who was number three or number 13? Who was the dude that replaced Murray in the lineup? Y'all know his name? Who? From Indiana? Oh, I'm sorry. And Indiana and New York? Third team? He on his third team, he was starting tonight?
Chris, what are you drinking? What are you drinking?
You asked too many personal questions. That's not important. The real, huh? What's that? All right, yeah. So that's it. I'm gonna get out of here and let the people that need to do their thing. But I'm not. But listen, Kane. My name was Kane for a reason in here. Fuck Lito, Chaz. What's happening, brother? You know what I mean? Nothing was good. Otherwise, get me the fuck out of here. Let me enjoy this show. Y'all go ahead and talk y'all shit.
Chris Connor, presented by the Birdsall Law Firm, coming live from the Smoothie King Center. All right, let's talk about that, Lito. So the Dyson Jose, and then we'll get Chad's thoughts on this. Look, Jose brings something to this team and to the game that I think is very valuable, right? There's energy. Listen, he's a really good player. There's a lot of energy. He gets under people. He gets players aggravated. Like, for instance, De'Aaron Fox tonight, he does a really good job with that. I was shocked when they kind of chose Jose over Dyson there. What did you think? I was shocked that Dyson didn't close. What did you think about that?
I think it's crazy you want me to comment after Chris came into the chat like my drunk uncle, and you want me to try to figure out how to.
We got a show. We see it, we adjust, we got a show to do.
I'm going to say this. I think Dyson has played really, really well recently, like maybe too well to not play at the end of games going forward. I think you see, I'm not going to say what y'all have been calling Herb and Dyson as far as the nickname goes. I'm not gonna repeat the nickname. I'm just gonna say that I think those two guys play really well together. And I think that Dyson defensively, like, he just been incredible. Yo, listen, I talked to Chris earlier. The last game they played against Sacramento, Fox tried to break Dyson down at the top of the key. Dyson pulled a Drew. He did the thing where he fucking stayed in front of him and he didn't use his hands at all. He just played him with his body and he slid and Fox had to give the – bro, I was just like –
Shamit tweeted that out, the video of Shamit tweeted out where he, like, cuts him off.
I didn't see it, but yes, that play. It was very Drew Holiday-like, and that shit was scary. So, I'm going to play Dyson in the last – especially, like, this is no disrespect to Jose. I think the issue you run into Jose is when you play bigger guards, especially in the postseason when the game slows up, they're gonna start taking advantage of a mismatch of height. They're going to start posting him. They're going to – get him involved in, I mean, you know, like, teams hunt matchups, and I think that's going to be the issue. I don't necessarily know if you can do that with Dyson. The issue with Dyson is on the other end of the floor, the confidence in.
But he had a big bucket tonight. He had a big bucket. I think it was like 6 minutes left. He went behind the back, hit a little floater in the lane. That was a big shot from him.
It was a big shot. But my issue with Dyson is that confidence. Like, let's just say the couple shots before that don't fall. Are you gonna continue to look for your shot? Because if you don't look for a shot, you can't play.
Yeah. Okay. So I agree there. So Chaz, at the 2 minute mark, Jose Alvarado misses the free throw, misses both free throws. Zion comes in for Dyson. Brandon comes in for Najee. And then at the 204 mark, Najee comes in for Jose, and they close with Najee, Brandon, Zion, JV and Herb. Is that correct? Yeah, JV and Herb. What'd you think of that? What'd you think of not going Najee over Dyson?
I think Dyson kind of shot himself off the floor going 0-for-5 from three. I think if he has a decent game from three, even if he goes 2-for-5 or Jose went 2-for-6. If Dyson goes 2-for-6, I think he stays on the floor. But the fact that he went 0-for-5, I think that was like, yo, you need some offense out there to counter what the Kings were doing. And I really think that was why the decision was made. Looking at like the box score, it didn't feel like Jose took 6 threes. It really didn't feel like that, but he went 2-for-6. And Dyson went 0-for-5. So I think that's the decision right there.
And to the coaching staff's credit, though, they played the right – to your point, too, Chaz, they played the right player, Najee. Najee's 4-for-5, 2-for-2 from deep, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, a block, plus 25. Like, they went with the hot hand there. So I don't have a problem with Najee closing there. But, Lito, it looks like you wanted to say something.
Nah, I was going to say exactly what you said, bro. Najee was a plus 25, dog. Plus 25. That's crazy.
In 20 minutes. In 20 minutes.
And look, he came in and he did the thing we've been asking for. You know, like, see a lot of comments in the chat about guys on the perimeter guys not being able to get rebounds because they got perimeter players. 20 minutes, he got 6 rebounds.
Damn.
That's impressive.
Yeah, he plays hard, man. He you know what you're gonna get with Najee, and especially if he's hitting shots. He's kind of like the catcher in baseball that like can hit a little bit. Like it's just like a little bit of lanyap, right? If he's hitting threes, like it's a little bit of lanyap there. Like you're gonna take that obviously all day.
He Yvonne.
Who?
Yvonne Rodriguez?
Like Pudge?
Come on.
Okay.
All right. Hey, listen. Listen, like bro. That. Listen, bro. If Najee goes, you know what? I'm not gonna say if because Najee is consistently making threes. Najee has been a good shooter this season. Like I'm starting to believe the three is who Najee is at this point. Because I have no reason to believe otherwise, right? Like, I mean, you said what he told us in summer league. I mean, media day. And he's been like living true to that. That motherfucker been, bro, that corner three. And I'm talking about like not just regular shots. He's been fading some. He's been like, it's been a pump, a sidestep. And look, he's only played six games, Justin, but in those six games that he's played, he's shooting 52% from three.
He's 52 now? And that's on what, 20 attempts? What's that average? 26. So 3.2 attempts a game? And he's shooting 52%?
Let me make sure it's...
Yeah, he probably deserved to close tonight. Especially your 2-2. He probably deserved to close tonight.
Got plenty of guys that got you, though, man.
Yeah, he's shooting 3.2 a game.
3.2?
Yeah.
I mean, he's been absolutely fantastic. Let's talk about one thing that I really did love tonight, Chaz. There were zero offensive rebounds in the first half given up by the Pelicans. He gave up four in the second half, so they finished with four. That's winning basketball. You out-rebound them 48-38. We've talked about offensive rebounds. The Kings only get four tonight. I understand they're a little undersized, but still, you hold them to four offensive rebounds, and you win the margin by 10. And then with the free throws, where were the free throws at? Free throws. They get to the line 37 times.
Pelicans got to the line 37 times.
Yeah, so they won the free throw. They won the free throw battle and the rebound battle.
Yeah, I think seeing this, the Pelicans didn't shoot very good from three tonight. So to balance that out, you got a really good whistle. You went there. They handled business for the most part. It don't look like they had too many misses. Well, shit, Jose went 0-for-4 from the free throw. God dang.
Yeah, and Dyson went 0-for-4. Really? That's the crazy part. Yeah.
Hey, yeah. Someone had a. Go ahead, Chaz. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I was just saying that they balanced it out with the free throws. They didn't give Sacramento being a smaller team, no Keegan Murray. You didn't give them second opportunities to burn you. It's a bonus. The bonus was just terrible down the stretch at the free throw line as well. So I think they went out there and they did. They started the game playing to their strengths. And I just hope that they continue to lean into that. You're playing through JV, you're getting Sabonis and Fox in trouble. You're playing through Zion, you're getting the guys in trouble. And then you kind of you take advantage of them being worn down and playing soft the defense because they're in foul trouble or just being off the floor in general. I think that's the key to this team being victorious, especially when you got a size advantage pause against the Sacramento Kings at home.
And one thing I did like, Chaz, when Brandon and Zion were out there, the 3.5 minute mark, they played through JV. They gave JV the ball. I think it was a field goal attempt that he missed, but it looked like he got fouled there by Sabonis. He got fouled. Like the ball went up and like they didn't call the foul. And I think Dyson had a chance to grab it and they paused and then they took it away. But I like that. But Lito, Dyson started the season. And this is from Turd Ferguson on Twitter. Dyson started 3 of 10 at the line for the season. He's now shot 12 of 13. So on the season, he's 15 of 23, but 12 of 13 in his last whatever game with free throws. Is it more of confidence or is it more form or is it kind of a merger of both? Like why all of a sudden the change you think from Dyson there?
Focus, confidence. You gotta, Justin, I don't know if you noticed, but Dyson is 20. Did you know
he's 20 years old? I did know that. Someone told me today he's 20 years old.
He's 20. So he's 20. I found out throughout summer league that he was 20. I think that the more reps he gets, the better he gets. For Jose missing the free throws, I guess you could attribute it to like a boxer, right? It's different between practice and like actual game, in-game management, in-game shots, the pressure's a little bit different. And not to say the pressure weighed on Jose, but I just think it's been a long time since he played basketball, bro.
Oh, yeah. Real long.
So, Gerson, that's crazy. But, but yo, shout out to Cody, bro. I'm telling you, all Cody's gotta do is set great screens and get offensive rebounds. I have no idea how, but that's what that motherfucker do.
Yeah, Cody Zeller's man, 8 minutes tonight plus seven, grabbed three rebounds, two of them offensive,
bro. For the time, bro, for the time you're hooping.
Chaz, what did you think about De'Aaron Fox and what they did to him over his last two games? I know he had 26 tonight. He really had 24. I'm not counting that last shot, but pretty much contained him. He had 14 points the other night, and he was coming off a stretch of like 42, 45, 38, 30, 27. What did you think about their game plan over these last two nights on De'Aaron Fox?
Man, I think I think Dyson and Herb have done an exemplary job defending him. He got into his bag a bit tonight. I don't know how much of the ankle was playing a factor, but man, that he had a stretch tonight where I was like, God damn, this dude a bad motherfucker. But I thought Herb and Dyson have done a great job, and the coaching staff has done a great job game planning for him to kind of neutralize.
What did you specifically see that they did to disrupt De'Aaron Fox? Like, what did they do?
Trapped him early a couple times, really physical. Fox is a lot stronger than I even realized, though. You can see he put on a little muscle and strength because he was pushing motherfuckers off him. But I think they were just real physical, really. He had a guy like Jose being a shorter guy, they were able to kind of press, get a little bit underneath them, pause. Probably a couple. I thought the refs, it's funny, I actually thought the refs allowed the Pelicans to play a very physical brand of defense against the
guard.
They picked
them up all night. They were pressing De'Aaron.
Yeah, I thought it was a good whistle on the Pelicans. And I thought he probably had a couple reaches, but they were really, really pressuring De'Aaron Fox heavily, and he didn't figure it out to the second half how to move around.
He did start getting going. Yeah, I was a little worried there, but then I felt like he was kind of taken away with that technical foul. I think Jose got on him. But go ahead, Lito.
No, I got a question for both of you. Well, I got a statement first, and then I have a question. The Pelicans were 7-for-30 tonight from three, and I think you start seeing the Matt Ryan effect there of missing Matt Ryan, and I think playing Matt and Hawk together. I think you start shout out to Donald. I think you start seeing an effect right there, and it might sound crazy because this guy just came out of the street, but a shooter's a shooter. The other thing was, for me, this is the question I want to ask y'all. Larry came back tonight. He played 12 minutes. Zeller played 8 minutes, I think. Larry had, I think, one more rebound than Zeller did in his 12 minutes. How do you feel about the rotation of just adding Larry back to the lineup versus what Zeller gave you last game with more minutes?
Yeah, Chaz, go ahead. I'm going to share your thoughts first.
As far as the rotation question, Lito, appreciate you, Sam.
Yeah.
Man, I admire and respect Larry. I thought the effort was there, but one play really stood out to me. One play. Zion drives to the rim.
Drives baseline,
draws a double, does a dish to Larry, slaps Larry in the face. Larry, that's really a staple of Larry's game at this point. Like, if he's good for at least one or two of those a night, and it's just like it was in the clutch too. It was like, bro, you can't do that. Like, you know.
Do you think that's because like Zion, like he hasn't played with Zion a lot? But like I'm thinking, like Zion, whenever Zion attacks, he always dishes it off. I'm just like,
nah, bro. I think that's just Larry. Like, you know, I think he just kind of prone to doing things like that. I think Larry is ideal in the Udonis Haslam type role, like, you know, break glass in case of emergency
type role, and you don't really, because I can't, if you're the Pelicans and your strength lies for this particular roster and your wingspan, Zion's strength, JV's strength and rebounding ability, and Cody Zeller's strength and length and rebounding ability, you should continuously play to your advantages. If, as you see, the Kings didn't play JaVale McGee tonight until the, like, they played him for a little bitty stretch, like toward the end of the game. But sometimes if you're the Pelicans and you got an advantage, you got to make teams adjust to you. You can't say, oh, they went small, let me put Larry out there. No, it's time for you to punish him on the boards. You know what I'm saying? Draw double teams, do what you need to do. Larry, kudos to him for playing through whatever he's playing through, because I'm sure he's not all the way healthy yet. But, man, I don't really see a reason to have Larry out there.
Yeah, he's definitely 100% Chaz, and I agree with you. Lita, I just – like I look at the box score, 2-4 from the field, right? 4 rebounds. Yeah, Larry got a steal. Like, he does good things. Don't get me wrong. Like, he's still doing good things, but there are moments where you're like, dang, like, for instance, the baseline pass, Chaz. I actually highlighted that. Like, you got, like, that's one you gotta have. You gotta finish it. And look, I think Cody Zeller, even though he's not gonna light up the box score, but man, he just does all, like, just the junkyard dog work. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's just rebounding. He's setting hard screens. He's playing, you know, they play through him. He makes good passes. I mean, if it's up to me and who's the better player right now, it's Cody Zeller. Like, I don't think you should be splitting 12 minutes to Larry and 8 minutes to Cody. To me, that doesn't make any sense. Like, those, like, for instance, once again, because there's a comment here, when Trey and CJ come back, like, you ain't splitting up Larry Nance getting 12, Cody getting 8. Jose getting 19, Hawkins getting 21. Like,
and listen, this might be a null point, but then JRE gets no minutes.
I mean,
like, he's situational.
Yeah, he is.
Situational. It's like breaking case of emergency kind of thing.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was about to say, because I think, man, with the front court especially, but do y'all think this team has got too many players?
Too many players. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Players, I mean, you know.
Bro, the conversations I've been seeing on Twitter is like, well, when Trey and CJ come back, what are the minutes like? And we keep talking about this, and I just – there's too many players. There's too many.
So look, one thing, I'm going to say this about the Larry pass y'all was talking about, or the Zion pass. I actually feel like Zion should have shot that.
The jumper.
No. Larry had a wide open dunk.
No, he don't. Larry don't ever have a wide open dunk. Zion could have. We talking about Zion Wilson here, bro. He could have found a way to get through and just shot the ball. Cause then he came down a play later and he did the same thing. He got it. He shot the midi. He shot the shit. It wasn't a play later, but it was a little bit longer in the game. I think that.
Yeah, Jax definitely was a wasted pick.
I was just like,
definitely.
I don't even know why Jackson is. Yeah, I think because of the.
I mean,
what a comment! Before we get to the next 7, make sure you hit that like button.
Not a lot.
Make sure you hit the like button, Jazz. Well, let's talk about it. I think it's been the hot topic, especially on Twitter. Trey and CJ are coming back, and I think it's very soon. CJ obviously was a full participant in practice the other day. Trey Murphy, once again, getting more work in, and it looks like he's getting close. So how is this going to work when CJ McCollum, $30 million guy, Trey Murphy, soon to be $30 million guy, when they come back, who's not playing?
Man, I think it's going to be an unfortunate event for JV, because just from a cachet. I mean, I'm happy those guys coming back, but I think me, JV being my son, I feel bad for him, just because him being one of the only advantage creators on this team night to night, knowing that he'll have to take a major backseat when Trey and CJ comes back, it's going to be disheartening. And I think you probably see a less involved JV defensively also, because now you're not getting the touches. You probably get a little more discouraged. And we see what this man's capable of when you consistently feeding him. Honestly, I would advocate for probably moving JV to the second unit when those guys come back, and so, just letting JV starting Zeller, you know, I'm talking about like starting in name, you know, set screens, rebound, because you're not going to be using JB's offense. I think you probably see, again, I can't justify playing Jose when them two dudes come back. You probably see.
Can I stop you there, Chaz, for a second? Because like I want to ask you, so the Jose, like when he brings the energy and like you said it a couple times,
that,
like
that is just such a
I know you hate it, but
like it's not really a tangible thing, because if a motherfucker breaking energy and he goes 0-6, 0-5 or something, well, good. What's the energy? It's just like you need some people out there, like. Because I think your goal has to shift when you got a bunch of healthy talent, right? Your goal has to shift. Now you got to be talking about, all right, playoffs and da, 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 da. I don't hate Jose, but the fact is Jose's 5'10", 5'11", and he's not Jalen Brunson. So it's like, what are we doing here? But so you're not even really Earl Boykins. He's just like, you know, it's just a cool thing. But then you're talking about sacrifice. You need as many people who can shoot on the floor as possible with those two guys, right? And Herb out there. So you gotta play Hawkins. You can't take Hawkins off because Hawkins rebounds. You gotta have CJ out there, of course, because CJ a dog from behind our Trey, of course. You probably shouldn't play Larry. You can't really justify taking minutes away from Najee. You don't know
what about Dyson.
Dyson, I don't think you could justify a need at this point because Larry's out. So it's going to be some games where you probably don't even really see Zeller necessarily. You know what I'm saying? I think the rotation for this team is Hawkins, Brandon, Zion, Trey, CJ, of course. Herb, of course, JV, and then it's up for, and then it becomes kind of up for debate. Like
Najee, Jose.
Yeah, Najee. I think Najee, Jose,
Ryan,
and Zeller. Ryan. Those are the three dudes who kind of like, well, some nights you're gonna play, some nights you're not. It's hard to justify not playing Najee. It's hard to justify. Well, you can easily justify not playing Larry. You can easily justify not playing Jerry. You know, it's easy to justify not playing certain guys, especially when, bro, Dyson, the first round pick, Hawkins, first round pick. Get these dudes all the minutes. Like, these dudes all the minutes. Right.
Like, Lito, So, Lito, go ahead with the rotation.
I think Chaz is, you got a point. And I think, unfortunately, though, exactly, and that's exactly what I was about to say. That's exactly what I was about to say, because if you say this guy should play or he shouldn't play, but then you know, like, I don't know, Willie got his guys that he comfortable with, got his guys that he just feels like, regardless, I'm gonna give Larry Nance 25 minutes, even though we're gonna be a negative 32 on the glass, and it's not really gonna make a difference. I'm gonna be honest, tonight I was a little. I wanted to see Hawkins close.
You wanted to see Hawkins close?
I did, man. Could you talk about rebounding? Like, I mean, I saw in the chat they were saying that he was getting cooked by Fox. I mean, yeah, like that's Fox. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, he gonna do that. But at the end of the day, like it's just, bro, the gravity of the shooting, like it's. Like granted, I'm not, no disrespect to Najee, but that corner three the top of the key three that he made, like, I'm glad he made it. And he's been, like I said, 52% right now, but fuck, I'd love for Hawkins to shoot it. I think Hawkins just provides you more offense also. Like, I think he's proven that he's more than a catch and shoot guy. Proven he'll take the pump fake and he'll put the ball on the floor. He'll take the midi, or he'll find the next connective pass.
He goes 3 of 9 tonight with 13 points because he got to the free throw line 5 times. I mean, he scores in different ways. I mean, I would hate to see minutes taken away from him and Dyson, as Chaz said. Like, those are lottery picks.
That's what's gonna happen, though. Like, that's what's gonna happen.
Well, you gotta. There's just gonna be a lot of wasted talent out there. Sorry, Chaz.
I think that's what stunts the growth. With the of like certain guys, like, you know, as far as playing Tony Snell, shout out to Tony Snell, wherever you at, man. Playing Tony Snell,
stealing money.
Yeah, you know, over trade, and then you got like even when Jax was like playing well, you kind of like, all right, Jax, we'll sit down somewhere, and you playing Larry on Jax. Like, bro, you gotta play these dudes because, and that's another reason why I advocated kind of for give Kyra the first nod. Now, he got his opportunity and he lost. Like, it is what it is. He didn't take advantage of it. But the dudes you have equity in, the dudes you really fully invested in, you gotta make decisions on these dudes because if a team comes calling and you're trying to put a package together, let's say a superstar becomes available, and you're trying to put a package together, you want to make sure you're not fucking trading SGA away. Like, you know what I'm saying? You want to make sure you're not trading Tyrese Haliburton away. Like, the Sabonis trade, look, it's working out for everybody, but still, like, you want to make sure you're not doing that.
Dude, that's a franchise-altering trade. I'm on my bad.
You know, is that franchise-altering trade? You know what I'm saying? You just want to make sure you're not doing that. Larry, after this year, Larry got 1 year on his contract. So it don't really matter. He's essentially an expiring with one extra year. But you gotta play the young guys, man.
I don't know how we're complaining. We're just having a normal basketball conversation. I don't understand that.
No, people just got a welfare mentality. Why would I get a job? My rent's $10.
Lito, this is an interesting comment. In case of injuries.
Well, you know, that's the thing.
That's a good point.
Like, that's the thing. We right now, I would say we probably have what, a 12, 13 man rotation, give or take the 13.
You say we have 12 man rotation a lot. Go ahead, though.
I'm just saying, like, but you gotta know at some point somebody's not gonna be available. Like, trade comes back is. Yeah. You know, does that mean you snake bit on another? Like, I'm praying to God it don't happen. I'm not wishing it on anybody, but I'm just saying, like, that's just how it's gone. And the thing, I agree. Like, again, Justin, Chaz, I told y'all, I don't think they'll sign Matt Ryan for that exact reason. I just don't. They got 50 games to do it. They have 50 games to do it, but I just don't see.
What more do you need to see from that guy? Like, I'm not saying the guy needs 20 minutes, but I mean 8 to 10 minutes, and he plays really hard. He's not like, I know defensively he's not good, Chaz, but like,
no, I know. I was saying I think Matt Ryan's solid defensively. I think
he is too.
If he don't get hurt, I think getting hurt and Jose coming back at the same time, it kind of messed up, you know, with his opportunity. I think they might keep him just because reality has to set in with certain things. I think what this second unit really is still missing is that scoring, that self-creator scoring option.
The microwave scorer, right?
Yeah, they're still missing that. And I feel like, because look, man, Zion, he ain't 100% yet, and B.I. is still figuring it out. But that duo really not going to get you like 70 points. Like, you know what I'm saying? They not that type of scoring threats at this stage. And you got motherfuckers like SGA and Jalen Williams scoring 70 points. So I still think you got to find ways. Could that be Trey? I don't know if Trey really a self-creator at this stage. I mean, it would have been great to see, but we didn't get a chance to see him so far. But I really think you need that self-creator, that dude that gets you a random 25 consistently. Like, you desperately need that.
Yeah, you know? I get that. But, like, in reality, Chaz, like, is anyone available right now? Like, that?
Yeah, I think they got some stuff because you're going to have to move some of these dudes.
Can, like, you trade Matt Ryan? Can you even trade
him? Nah. I wouldn't. He's not one of the people I would trade. But I'm saying, like, bro, you got so many. Look, you got so many sixes on the roster, right? Oh, you got so many old reliables. Like, you know, they're going to come in, they're going to do their job. Some nights they're going to score 4 points. Some nights they might give you 10. But you need a bona fide 18, 20 here and there. You kind of need that. Like, and I just don't know, not that motherfucking contract, Jordan Poole ain't. that contract is hideous.
So, I see, yeah. So, Lito, would you give up Matt Ryan, like, if he, when he gets back healthy, like, is he just
giving up 47% shooting from three is crazy.
Wait, what? He's 47%.
Who gave 40. Up 47%?
He asked me if I would trade Matt Ryan.
Like, I'm just like that cut. Like,
God, damn, who shot like that?
Bro, he's shooting 47%. No.
Are you serious?
And he's shooting 5 a game. No, I'm dead ass serious. Yes. He's shooting 47%.
Yeah. And he moves five attempts. You got to keep that dude, man.
He plays the right way. He plays like, I'm telling you, he does some really good stuff. Like, you can't get.
He's a sneaky good rebounder too. It's like he's sneaky good rebounder. He's not an athletic guy, but somehow he finds his way into, you know, 4 rebounds a game. Like, I mean,
I think that's a good question. What do y'all think? I kind of answered it a little bit before,
I think this is the person you're talking about. I think what did he average 15 at the end of last year? I think I could see Trey with 18 a game coming off the bench. I think it's probably suitable, honestly, for him to come off the bench. It wouldn't, like, I know everybody wanted to start. And like you said, starting is like, it's situational. Like, that shit don't really matter.
I just don't care about starting.
I don't really care at all either. But I think for Trey, he will get the most development for his game if he ran with the second unit and he's able to be the guy in that unit. He can take those shots, self-creation, create the dribble for himself and others, and learn how to. It might have been 20 points per game. Nah, it might have been. I don't remember. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think he ended in totality. I think he ended with 15 a game. I know he didn't average like. He probably did average 20 for the last 2 months though. But anyways,
starting.
Yeah. So we got through Trey Murphy. Like, so Chaz, when CJ McCollum comes back, you know. Mm-hmm. Dyson and Herb, these lineups have been unbelievable. Willie Green says, if it's not broke, don't fix it. A lot of people are advocating.
I fucking hate that so much.
What?
If it's broke, if it ain't broke, don't broke.
Oh, that expression? Yeah. Bro, no, like, you're winning, right? That don't mean it ain't broke. You're just winning.
Like, so, bro. Chaz, does CJ come back in the starting lineup and Dyson goes back to the bench?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's absolutely. And why is that the right move?
Because, all right, the opponents are shooting like I think probably under 30% against the Pelicans right now from beyond the arc. You've seen this happen with the Pelicans a few times, the way it's like, once the shots start balancing out a little bit, like, okay, tonight, Brandon didn't go 5 for 5 from 3. Okay, he went 1 for maybe 4. So once the fucking Kings start making threes, you see the math equation kind of, you know, this team just has to be a middle of the pack defensively. Their strength lies in being overwhelming offensively. You have to be extremely overwhelming to compensate for, you know, your two best players not being like capable of extremely high scoring outbursts. So you gotta everybody gotta give you 10 to 12, you know, 10 plus points. And shout out to Trey and Olin Fulgang. Oh, yeah.
He averaged 14 and a half last year, by the way.
And I think Trey was starting because then him and Herb had like 30 something against Memphis.
Yeah. Trey started 65 games last year, by the way.
Oh, yeah. So that's why it's like, I don't know. I think, I just think for a self creator, for as a spark plug guy, and then we gotta consider. I don't know if Trey comfortable coming off the bench, going into next season and all that shit. If we just focusing on this season, cool. But thinking long term, Trey a very brand conscious brother, and I don't know if he gonna want to come off the bench for too much longer.
I'd be pissed if they let Matt Ryan.
Oh yeah, that's exactly what would happen.
Hey, Chaz, I don't know how he's on a two-way, correct? So does that mean that I saw something like say like he's not playoff eligible or something like that?
Yeah,
or
you can't play two-way players in the playoffs, I don't believe.
So you gotta sign him in order for him to be a part of the playoffs.
You
never let go 47%. Like, you just don't let that go. No way.
And then you still got to think, you got 50 games. You got 50 games. So at the 50 game mark, you're going to have to make a decision at some point. Like, what you doing?
And you in the tax. So you either going to attach, but then even if you attach the first or something to move Kyra, which would be crazy to do, you still in the tax. So now you got to move JV and or maybe you can move Kyra and Liddell. I don't know. But you got to move JV or Larry. So you got, like, one of them dudes got to go. Like, that's really the bottom line. Because this, I don't know if this is no tax team. And then you start the repeater tax next season. Oh, nah, you can't do that. So somebody got to go. It's just a matter of who got to
go. It really, like, if you think about it, like, someone legitimately has to go.
Yeah, like just from a business standpoint, someone has to go.
And like you, I'm looking at Matt Ryan's stats. He's averaging career highs in 3-point attempts, 3-point percentage, field goal percentage, rebounds, assists, and points.
They would look crazy letting go of Matt Ryan.
47% on 5 3-point attempts ignite, dude.
Lito, what we shot from three tonight? You would look crazy.
Seven of 33, right?
Yeah, 7 for 30.
Yeah, it would have to be. It gotta be, man. It's fucked up because I think you need Larry in this locker room.
Yeah,
I ain't gonna lie to you. I don't believe it. What I'm saying, I don't believe it yet. But you need Larry in the locker room. But it's like, man, you make $10 million, bro. Like you
I thought he makes more than that. I thought he makes more than
that. Yeah, he made like 10.3 or something. It's something he make over 10. But it's like, you know.
Man. Listen, man, thank God for you right. You right, dog. You do need him in the locker room, man. Thank God for him and CJ.
Yeah. Thank God, y'all boys, man.
Before we close this out, next like 10 minutes, make sure you hit the like button, please. Helps the channel. Share. Say bye, Crystal Hot Sauce, the official Hot Sauce of Boot Crew Media. All right, Lito.
for real. Word.
I agree with you. But the lineups have been pretty damn good. CJ's not coming off the bench. Bring out any questions, comments. I'm gonna try to get them up. We're gonna answer this in the next 10 minutes. Okay, here's one, Chaz. Denzel, CJ could be the stealth six man first starter out after a few minutes, come back with the bench players and finish the game with the closers.
I think, man, yeah. See, if CJ wasn't approving this killer veteran dog, like I think, man, like I don't think you got to really understand how CJ's an arrogant guy, right? He's a confident man, right? And he has reason to be. So if I'm CJ and I've been Mr. Available, I'm putting up big numbers without both. I've won games without both of y'all already this season, and I'm not even sure this other guy's better than me. I'm not coming off no bench for nobody. That's not a shoe-in. You got to go get Cat and another guy for me to be like, I bet I'll come off the bench. But I just can't see him doing it. Like, on a championship team, it makes perfect sense to me, right? Championship team, the Warriors, CJ coming off the bench. Boston, CJ coming off the bench. This team, CJ got too much clout. CJ, he can arguably say he's the best. He's been the best player so far this season before him going down. It would be a real black eye for this organization, in my opinion, to even ask that of him. That's insulting to even ask.
I agree. The president? You go ask the president, dog? No.
Wait, someone said, no. Like, here's another thing. I disagree with this because he's not that bad defensively. Like, I know he's not quick and it gets a lot of steals, but
he's been playing great defensively this year.
He is really good defensively. Wasn't really good. He's above, I would say he's average, above average, above average.
And he was doing good defensively last season.
He's not like a shutdown defender like Drew, Dyson, Herb, like none of those guys, but
no,
he's a fine defender.
Shout out to Corey. Hey, listen, I remember I tweeted this, and I said CJ is one of the best, probably top three shooting guards all time, for this franchise. And people was talking about, nah, man, he, bro, what?
Oh, I'm trying to think who would be.
It's not even, bro. It's such a piss poor number. Like, yo, like, shout out to Justin, about to get mad at me, Chaz. Why? Jimmer Fredette and,
yo, can I got to say this real quick. Can I was waiting on somebody to say this. All right, so, you know, I want to trade for Scoot Henderson this offseason, right? So, yeah. You know, in Scoot Henderson's first few games, he's averaging about – he played 5 games so far this season. He's averaging, like, 8 points, 3 and, like, 3 or something like that. 8, 5, and 3, something like that. Playing point guard, first 5 games in the league.
Yeah.
Brandon Ingram's first 5 games in the NBA, he averaged an astounding 5 points. 2 rebounds and 1 assist. Please shut the fuck up when you talk to me. Understand this. I'm better than you. And I don't just mean like on a general level. I mean just like anything you think of, I'm better than you at that. Please shut the fuck up when you talk to me. Please.
Okay, hold up.
I think in the school thing, you got to add context to that shit too, because it's kind of like, again, this is 8 games like we talking about. Like you're talking about like – he's not gonna be who he is right now.
Whenever he's coming, it's not 8 games. It's 5. Scoop played 5 games.
Yeah.
It was stupid. Oh yeah. So CJ, man, honestly, I don't really care about starting lineups.
CJ's a bona fide Hall of Famer, bro.
Let's see this one. What do y'all think about a lineup of Zion, BI, Matt, Hawk, and Trey? Yes to the offense. No to the rebounding. Your best rebounder is Hawkins, to be honest with you.
Is Zion gonna commit? But see, Zion has to commit to rebounding. Then
Zion and Trey.
That's a good point, Lito. Cause dog, I swear to God, you crossed my mind while I was watching the game tonight. Zion had like no rebounds, and I was like, damn, we might just have to accept Zion has a 5 and 7 rebound dude, and that's sad because the rebounds he was getting. It was like
he was coming right to his lap.
Throws.
Yeah,
like he nowhere around the rebounds. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's the crazy thing. And it's like, I just don't think that's his lot in life. I think Zion like a power forward on offense.
I'm gonna ask y'all this, and I'm gonna ask the chat this too. I've asked y'all this question before, Chaz. You've answered, but the rebounding thing, right? Is it will or is it skill? Because I don't understand how you can have all the athleticism in the world and you just don't.
Because it's will.
It's dude, will,
you have
right?
to want to go rebound. You have to want to go rebound. Nobody wants to go rebound. You have to want to go rebound. Like, y'all played. Like, you know that. Like, either you want it or you don't, right? It's not because Zion, like, is slow or, like, he can't go. Like, Zion can just easily sky it. Just sky for a rebound and go. But he doesn't. I think he really saves his energy for offense.
Yo, and if you look at how this dude playing in the second half, it's a different player.
Who, like, Zion?
Yeah, Zion. His conditioning takes a steep decline in the second half.
But Chaz, it's gotten better over the last.
It's getting better.
It started with that first half against who was it? Minnesota. Yes, it started off with Denver first half, and then he was really bad in the third, and then like, kind of early in the fourth, and then like he had that big and one. Yeah. Again, I saw it tonight where they played through Zion at like the 6-minute mark. He kept scoring. He took a minute break and then came back and finished. Like, I thought he looked a little bit better again tonight.
One part that got me, and that's how I know the dude ain't like right yet. On top of the boards, but he had a drive, clear lane, right? Well, clear lane for him. And he went up for a layup. And I'm like, no, dude, you supposed to dunk that shit. Use it like, I think it got blocked or he missed it. And he looked to the ref like, what are we doing?
It was
like
a foul. It was like a minute and a half, minute 45 left.
Yeah. And it's like, no, that's your fault. You supposed to go there and that's supposed to be a statement dunk. You supposed to dunk that shit, bro. Like, gotta get in shape, bro.
We've seen this, Chaz. We've seen it. Like, I'm starting to now see more steps, kind of like last year. Remember, he started off bad, didn't look that good. Then he started seeing it, then bam. And then obviously Brandon got hurt, but you know, December took off.
I'm honestly, bro, like, I don't mean to change gears of what y'all was talking about. I'm honestly just happy to see them willing to work together. Because you can just see, it's to me, the game looks drastically different. Like, granted, you still get spurts where they go on droughts. And I can't, I don't know if that's probably more Willie, like a rotate, like the pieces around in that time, you know what I'm saying, is on the floor, then rather than, I can't put that on Brandon and Zion, but just the fact that, like little inklings of things, like I said, the dribble handoff, like a dribble handoff from Zion to Brandon, bro, that's brilliant. Like, it should be basic, though. It should be, like, I would have my sixth grade team running that. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not something that it takes a whole lot to figure out. You know, you take the bigger guy, you have him in the dribble handoff. It's creating a forced pick. It's not a real pick. It's more of a rub. You know what I'm saying? And Brandon got all the way to the rack on that. I think you can do that 80 times a game, dog. You can do that.
Last thing. So we'll go about 5 minutes on this. Make sure you hit the like button. Chaz, what did you think of? Did you hear CJ McCollum's comments on his latest podcast?
I heard some of them.
Okay. I guess we'll go Chaz and Lito. What did you think of his comments talking about the team meeting, talking about working together, things like that? What did you think of that?
I'm gonna give myself all the credit. Because I'm like, I said this shit months before CJ said it. Like, y'all should have been to this. Why did it come to this? Like, you know what I'm saying? Why did it come to this point? This is something that should have been resolved before you even enter the season. With everything at stake this particular season, people's jobs, CJ, you know, he's not in the twilight of his career. Clearly, he got a lot left, you know, to contribute to a winning organization. But this is something that should have been done already. It shouldn't have gotten to this point where you're losing five games in a row. CJ hurt, Trey hurt. Now it's a, you know, it's.
But for them to do it, is it at least a step in the right direction for them to do it?
I guess, but I'm not. Look, man, I'm judging these dudes by who they say they is and by how they're getting paid. It's year 8. Zion, it's year 5 because you ain't losing no endorsements. You know what I'm saying? You got a new shoe every year. You got a new commercial every year. You know what I'm saying? Everybody doing their thing. Everybody getting their money. But it's like the mission these whole while. Go ahead, Chaz. Everybody doing their thing. Everybody getting their money. And it's like, bro, the time for y'all not like, y'all young, but it's y'all not like, there's not a young team as far as the leadership or the star players. Y'all motherfuckers been in the league for a while now. I don't want to hear about no type. And y'all been together all this time. Like, y'all at least got to be cordial or cool. Yeah, I don't want to hear about the team meeting 8 fucking games into the season. Like, we got some stuff off our chest. You ain't much this offseason.
Hey, we're turning around right now, okay? It's turning around. 1-4 out of 5. Lito ended with this. No one is talking about how Jonas has been bitching these centers. So, a couple minutes.
I don't know what you've been listening to, because that's all the fuck I be talking about. Like, I literally talk about how Jonas deserves a contract extension. He's playing. And it's so crazy. I say he deserves a contract extension, but he probably don't, because just the usage of him, like, it's just not going to happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, what would be the point in giving him a contract if you go turn around and then, like, not use him? You know what I'm saying? Or there's going to be a point in the season where Willie's gonna turn into giving him like 18 minutes a game again, and then Larry's gonna get 27 minutes, and then it's gonna be like, you know what I'm saying? What's the fucking point? Chaz, I won't hear what you had to say, but I just wanna say this, and this is to Chaz's point. Bro, I hold, and people be talking about like, you hate this, you hate that, you hate that. I don't hate Brandon, I don't hate Zion. I'm a fan of both, you know what I'm saying, both guys. My thing is this, I just wanna hold them, somebody gotta hold them to a standard, dog. Like, the standard gotta be greatness. And if you telling me, you know what I'm saying, Brandon said he wanna come in, he wanna be the best player in the NBA. Zion this offseason said that he worked on being unstoppable. Bro, all I could do is I could just hold you to that line. So when I can't think of old boy name in the chat last week was talking about Zion get more rebound than Herb Jones. What the fuck are we talking about? Why are you bringing up her? Bro, I'm talking about a dude. I'm talking about a dude making $200 million. I don't give a fuck with her. Like, I mean, I care what Herb Jones does, obviously. Like, But, like, no, I'm not holding Herb Jones to the standard I'm holding Zion to, or Zion told me to hold him to with him being unguardable, because to me, unguardable means, like, I know offensively, but you got to play both sides of the ball, dog. It's two sides of a basketball court. The 94 feet ain't just one side of the court, because then it ain't 94 feet.
Yeah. Chaz, real quick, and then we got to
I think Yona's been good. And last thing about CJ's point, look, man, it's easy to get along when it's just y'all two. When CJ comes back into the fold, when Trey comes back into the fold, and them fucking shots start to get scarce, and you can't just go ISO for a whole quarter like Zion been doing and like Brandon been doing, then we going to see the results of the team meeting. But until then, just keep stockpiling these wins. You got an easy December coming up, relatively easy. Got some tough matchups coming up soon, but let's just keep winning.
So simple. Hit that like button. Appreciate y'all. Let's hear from DraftKings Sportsbook. In the NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Win or lose, you get an instant dub. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code BOOT. New customers can get 150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on basketball. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code BOOT. The crown is yours. Appreciate everyone pulling up Friday night against the Clippers. It's if we win and Houston loses, we go to Vegas. Or I think we go to the knockout round. So it's a big one in LA.
I thought you said we go to Vegas because
we can't go. I'll go to Vegas. If y'all want to go to Vegas, I'll go to Vegas. Like, comment, subscribe. Do you do anything, Lito? No? You're not going to say anything?
Damn, hold on. Damn, my mind went blank. Fuck the Pacers. I don't know.